opposition to any of it, so I'll have Mr. Greg Bernieu, the land commissioner, kind of step through what these parcels are.
Is that based on the amendment, or is that based on the main motion, or on your main Senate file?
Well, I mean, he can cover what the amendments are. I mean, I don't, you know, they're pretty technical.
Senator Skoy?
Mr. Chair, why don't I move the A1 amendment and get the bill in the shape that he wants? So I'll move the A1 amendment.
Any further discussion on the A1 amendment? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment carries. Senator Laurie, if you would continue.
I'm going to turn it over to Greg Bernieu.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm Greg Bernieu, County Land Commissioner for Carleton County, and I come before you with any answer any questions you have regarding this bill. The only change to the amendments is to first offer some parcels directly to the state, and then a couple of water or riparian easements for fishermen, et cetera, and other parcels that border trout streams.
Do any of the members have questions for either one of the gentlemen that are testifying? There being no questions, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor of passing Senate File 92 to be laid over to the omnibus bill?
As amended.
As amended. Signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
I'll move that.
Thank you.
Well, you need a name with the motion.
And which one's the next one? Senate File 181.
He's learned.
And the next Senate file we'll hear is Senator Laurie, Senate File 181. Senator Laurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I've got an A2 delete everything amendment that makes a couple of amendments as well. If that could get passed out and maybe moved.
And why that's being passed out, Senator Laurie, would you explain the A2 amendment?
Well, the A2 amendment is the same parcels, but it offers a right of first refusal for one parcel to the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, and then for several other parcels, it offers a right of first refusal to the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Actually, and on the A2, I do have an oral amendment that needs to be moved because one of the parcels has a lease on it that complicates the matters. I believe Senate Counsel, Mr. Knopf, can help me with this.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A2 amendment so we can get that on there.
The A2 amendment has been moved. Mr. Knopf, do you have some input before we vote on it?
Yeah, I think, Mr. Chair, I think what you want to do is subtract a couple of things from that amendment. On 3.8, there's a number there. It's 92-010-0790. So you want to delete that from the amendment. And then also on 3.10, delete paren 4, paren comma. So basically, one of the parcels that will not be offered to the Fond du Lac Band of Chippewa first before being offered for sale. So you're deleting one of the parcels from that list.
Any other questions on the amendment or the oral amendment by the members?
And Mr. Chair, I think it would be best if Senator Kielesch just incorporates that into his amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to do that.
Thank you. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just curious what the on the oral amendment striking that one parcel, what that parcel consisted of and why that was being exempt and not.
The problem with that parcel and why it needed to be exempted is because there's a lease, an existing lease on that parcel that makes offering right of first refusal complicated and it just doesn't work cleanly. There's no controversy as to removing it. It's just that the right of first refusal doesn't work when there's an existing lease on that parcel. And that was discovered late in the process.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So follow up, and that's fine with the Fond du Lac?
Yeah, it's fine with the band. It's fine with the commissioners. Everybody's fine with that.
Any members have any other questions or comments on the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment has been moved. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment carries. The bill should be in order. Anything further on the bill, Senator Laurie?
You know, I can turn it over to Greg Bernieu again. This is about 1,000 acres, all within the boundaries of the Fond du Lac Tribal Reservation. And again, we have supporting resolutions adopted by the Carlton County Board, and the DNR has looked over it. Nobody has any concerns.
Senator Skoy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Laurie, is this going to be fee land then? When it's sold, it'll be fee land?
Mr. Chair, Senator Skoy, when this land is sold to either Fond du Lac or the highest bidder at public auction, that land will first, if it's bought by Fond du Lac, it'll go into Fond du Lac ownership, so it will return on the tax rolls. It'll be removed off the tax rolls upon the band's successful application to put it into U.S. BIA trust land. If it goes to John and Jane Q. Public, it does go back on the tax roll.
And Mr. Chair?
Senator Skoy?
To the land commissioner, is the county going to be supportive of it going into trust, or are they going to oppose that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Skoy, yes, the county board is in favor of this. If it will go to trust, they are with that because they realize at this moment the county receives only the value from pilt payments and a minuscule amount of timber revenue off these properties. They're mostly wetland areas up in the reservation. So the loss to the town, to the taxing districts, the school district, the township, the cities, is minimal compared to revenues generated off it for the few years that will be on the tax rolls before it's enrolled into the trust status.
Okay, thank you.
Any other members have any questions? Hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion on Senate File 181 as amended.
So moved.
Senator Carlson? Senator Carlson moved the motion. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. The next Senate file we'll hear is Senate File 492. Senator Laurie.
Thank you. This is a Pine County bill. I didn't have an amendment for it, which is great. But I do have a Pine County resolution supporting it. It is one small parcel. It is for a private sale of tax-forfeited land amounting to 3 acres that resulted from kind of the misunderstanding of a boundary and a road misplaced, and then the neighboring landowner wound up building his road on what is actually county land, creating an inadvertent trespass. And all of the parties would like to clean up this historic problem that has been kind of a thorn in people's sides and just sell this 3 acres to the guy who's got this inadvertent trespass and be done with this issue. And so the county did pass a resolution. There's no opposition to this. And actually, I asked Greg to stick around with me because in addition to being Carlton County Land Commissioner, he's former Pine County Land Commissioner. So he's got a lot of history with this if anybody has any questions, but I don't think there's any real controversy over it or anything. But happy to entertain questions and hope that we can help out this one landowner with this inadvertent trespass.
Any members have questions on Senate File 492?
Mr. Chair, could I just mention something?
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, Senator Laurie, many times on these we actually say in the law that it's to sell to the adjoining landowner instead of just by private. Right now that just says by private sale. And as long as it's the adjoining landowner that you want to sell it to, I was wondering if it would make sense to put that in here.
Would you be willing to make a oral amendment, Senator Laurie?
Or you have somebody else would have to offer it.
Well, no, I guess somebody else would have to make
it. There are two other adjoining landowners to this particular parcel. It might just, you know, the county's intention and express intention is to sell it to this one individual who is one of the three adjoining landowners, but it might introduce additional dynamics that I'm not aware of, and I don't have.
Well, it already kind of has that because this is by private sale. So that means they could sell it to anybody right now, the way this is worded.
So
I want to know if you want to limit it to one of the adjoining landowners.
If that's what we typically do, I'd be amenable to it. I mean, this we'll have some time. I can double check it or something. If this, you know, hopefully this would have another stop if there's issues that I'm not aware of. So we could. I'd be happy to entertain an oral amendment that would restrict it to an adjacent landowner.
On the advice of Mr. Knopf, is somebody willing to make an oral amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'll make that amendment if we can just get where the language goes.
Mr. Chair, I would, on 1.7, after sale, I would put in to an adjacent landowner.
Any questions on your oral amendments by members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment carries. Is there any further discussion on Senate File 492 by the members or any questions of the testifiers? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion.
I move the bill 492 as amended.
It has been moved, Senate File 492 as amended. All those in favor signify.
Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure that the motion is to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus plan bill.
Yes, and to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. All those in favor of the motion as amended signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. And for the record, all three of these will be laid over for the omnibus bill, Senate File 92, Senate File 181, and Senate File 492.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and
Thank
members.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The next bill we'll have heard is Senate File 25, Senator Saxhog. He pulled that one? Okay. So it'd be Senate File 560.
Which one did you pull? 25.
Senator Saxhog, would you introduce Senate File 560?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Today I'm presenting, as you said, Senate File 560. I do have an A2 amendment that I'd like to...
And while the A2 amendment is being passed out, would you mind going through that, Senator Saxhog?
I sure would. It's a delete all amendment, and what this bill does, 560, it's the annual lands bill for Itasca County. It has three provisions this year. Section 1 is a request for a sale of tax-forfeited lakeshore. Section 2 is a request for a private sale to resolve an encroachment with an adjacent landowner. And Section 3 is a request for a purchase to correct the forfeiture that the county and the landowner have agreed to. There's additional information on these transactions in your packet. The DNR approves all three requests. Kathy Lewis from the Division of Lands and Minerals is here if anybody has any questions. Otherwise, I would stand for questions.
Members, the first amendment was passed out was the incorrect amendment.
Right.
That was for Senate File 25. We're now passing out the correct one for Senate File 560. So we'll wait just a minute for everybody to get that.
That one was different on both packets. So I had the right one. I don't know what else did. We'll slide a hand there.
Now that the amendments have been handed out, are there any questions on the amendment? There being no questions on the amendment, would you move the amendment to be passed, Senator Saxhog?
Yes, I would move the A2 amendment, Mr. Chair. Senate File 560.
Any questions on the amendment for 560? Hearing no questions, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment carries. Senator Saxhog, anything else you want to go through now that you have the bill in order and Senate File 560?
No, Mr. Chair, and I would move then Senate File 560 as amended be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion in Senate File 712.
Any questions of the members on Senate File 560? Hearing no questions, the author of the amendment has moved that it be passed and laid over for the omnibus bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Bill is passed to be carried over the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to make a comment on Senate File 25, just advice to the chair that after we made a couple of changes that we thought we needed to make, it turns out that it was all already in law. So that simplified that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Members.
Makes it easy.
do bucks for him. Probably isn't going to be a big deal.
Hey, let's do bucks.
No. What does he? What does he have?
We need Scheidenbach.
They're a real Pandora.
So we.
We could do 712. What the hell?
The next bill that we will do will be Senate File 712. Senator Carlson. Senator Carlson, if you'd proceed with the introduction of Senate File 712.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm pleased to say that the DNR has entrusted me with the 2011 lands bill. I must not have screwed up too bad on the 2010 lands bill, so here we go. This, again, is a lands bill where the DNR is required to get legislative approval to do some land sales in certain riparian areas. And the best person to explain all this, of course, would be Kathy Lewis from the DNR.
And Ms. Lewis, would you announce your name and your position for the record, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Kathy Lewis. I'm Assistant Director with the Division of Lands and Minerals of the Department of Natural Resources. I can do a section-by-section review for you. The first section of the bill is a minor policy change. It concerns the method that the DNR uses for valuing low-value properties for DNR land acquisitions and land exchanges. And a few years ago, we were at the legislature asking for some changes in this law. We got some language in the conference committee that we said, oh, we'll try it for a few years and see how it works. And we tried it for a few years, and we think we need to refine the language to narrow the options for doing the valuation process. So the primary method that we would use is looking at the assessed value of the property. This is a voluntary provision for the landowner. We only buy from willing sellers, and they are offered this for low-value property as a way to expedite the valuation process. If they don't like it, they can have an appraisal. So that remains an option for them. Section 2 of the bill concerns an OHV area, Iron Range OHV area. We've acquired a piece of property there where we also acquired the mineral rights. We've actually issued a mineral lease on the property that can be done also while the OHV activity. And we want to make sure it's clear in statute that the revenue from the mineral lease goes into the fund from which the lands were purchased. Section 3 is a minor technical change to make consistent the spelling of Smoky Hills State Forest in the statutes and laws. Section 4 is a boundary change. It's to expand the boundaries of two state parks. First is Scenic State Park. We're expanding the boundaries to allow access to Isaac Lake. And in William O'Brien State Park in Washington County, the property borders the state park and would better facilitate trail alignment. We do have an amendment to the bill that would make a change in the description for the Scenic State Park description.
First amendment.
Did the amendment get, I passed on to the administrator, Mike Carbo, did it get into the system?
The amendment?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Okay. Mr. Chair, we can address that in subsequent hearings if needed.
Okay, thank you.
Section 5 of the bill expands the boundaries of two state recreation areas. The first is Greenleaf Lake SRA. It's a 4.4-acre parcel. It's the tip of a peninsula for expanding the SRA area. The second one is Iron Range OHV SRA. It's 40 acres in St. Louis County. It's a landlocked parcel. It borders St. Louis County landfill, and it borders the OHV park, and the county is in favor of us acquiring the property. The Section 6 of the bill would expand the boundaries of Smoky Hill State Forest by 120 acres. This is already state-owned land. What it would do is consolidate management of the state-owned property into the state forest. Section 7 and 8 deal with 160 acres of state-owned land. We've been working with Roseau County on land asset management. We've identified that it's more appropriate this land be in a wildlife management area rather than the state forest. The land is wet, does not have timber resources. Sections 9 to 15 of the bill are land sales. The land sales total 121 acres. These are sales of DNR land, and authority is required from the legislature because they would be direct sales where the parcels border public waters. Section 9 is in Becker County. It is 6.15 acres. It's a piece of property next to a dam that is administered by the DNR. The Lions Club and the city have been using the property for recreational purposes. The conveyance of the property would be to the city for continued management. The DNR would retain access for easement and access to the dam. Section 10 of the bill is Cass County. It's 11.6 acres of University Trust land, and this would be put up for public sale. Adjacent landowners have expressed interest in using it for a septic system. Section 11 is in Douglas County. It's 1.77 acres. It would be improved access to an adjacent landowner, and it's the DNR does not need it for natural resources purposes. Section 12 is in Douglas County. It's a 0.48 acre parcel. It's a piece of property that the DNR acquired with an easement access already existing on the property. There's been some continued discussions with the easement holders about what their easement rights are and what the DNR rights are, and we just decided we should just resolve this by selling the little sliver to the easement holders and resolve the discussions about what's going on about the use of the property. Section 13 is in Marshall County. It's a one-acre parcel. The parcel, when it forfeited, contained the township cemetery. It's appropriate the township cemetery be owned by the township, and that would be a transfer to the township. Section 14 of the bill is in Otter Tail County. It's a very small 0.02 acres. We did a survey there, found an inadvertent trespass, and we would convey the property by private sale to the adjacent owner. Section 15 in Watonwan County is the largest parcel. It's a former railroad right-of-way that the state acquired. We had plans in the past to expand the area. They did not come to fruition. The county has approached us to put a regional trail on the property, and that is acceptable to us. We've identified that we would be looking at options to have a reservation of a conservation easement for continued prairie management and seed harvest. And that's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you. Ms. Lewis, with regard to the railroad right-of-way you just talked about at the end, is the trail going to interfere with the prairie, or is there going to be a conflict there?
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, Senator Skoy, the idea is that there would be quite a few restrictions on the use of the property by the county that the prairie management can be done in conjunction with the trail, and they would both be addressed.
Any other questions for the testifiers, Senator Carlson or Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to maybe go on record. It's with some reluctance that I withhold an amendment that I was going to put on this bill. 30 years ago, the DNR had an arrangement with some landowners for a former railroad right-of-way and Steamboat Loop north of Walker. But we had a good conversation this morning with the DNR, and I think that we should be able to come to some resolution on that issue before too long. And so I just kind of wanted to make sure that for those of you that knew, I might be offering that amendment that we'll be withholding it at this time.
Thank you, Senator Carlson. Members have any other questions for Senator Carlson or for Ms. Lewis? If not, at this time, we're going to temporarily lay this bill over. We'll bring this bill back, and then we'll do the amendment at that time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you. Senator. We'll do Senate File 606 next. Senator Scheid, would you like to introduce your bill?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I need to give a disclaimer probably more than once to this, because this gentleman to my left is a constituent, a resident of Brooklyn Center, Mr. DeMars, and I did not know that he owned property on the same lake where I have a cabin. And so this bill has to do with some land at his cabin across the lake. I can't even see it from where our cabin is. It has nothing to do with my cabin on Lake Minnewawa. You're required to smile when you say Minnewawa. It's just the kind of word that makes you smile. It's near Big Sandy, if for anybody's point of reference. This bill attempts to attack an issue that was created, very frankly, by a document from 1917, a plat map. And what happened was that the landowner platted, and I'll pass this around. I suppose there's hundreds of lots on here. Maybe, I don't know if there's 50 cabins involved today, but it's a very elaborate plat map. And they created a real dilemma for the future with this language, and we hereby donate and dedicate to the public use forever all the roads, passes, lanes, drives, trails, way, parks, and commons as shown on the annexed plat. And it's signed November 5th, 1917. And what happened is, and I'm going to pass this around, as I said, I have an area circled in red. You'll see underlined a word commons. There is a strip of land between 13 lots, six owners of 13 lots. There's a township road, a strip of land, and then the lake. And I'm going to let Mr. DeMars describe the situation, because I think you've been at your cabin many years.
Mr. DeMars, if you would state your name, sure, and your position for the record, please.
Well, my name is Gary DeMars. My position is I'm a landowner along with six other people, as she described. The road that we're talking about has been there for years. When our father bought the property, like everybody else in that area, they bought it with the idea that they owned the land all the way down to the lake. Well, there was a road there, always has been, but the main road is on the other side of our property, so that road is no longer used. The road doesn't need to be used by anybody, including us who own the property. Back about 7 years ago, Aiken County and Shamrock Township decided that after 70, 80 years of people putting docks out, you can't put docks out anymore. So after going to several meetings, I finally brought Linda in because we weren't accomplishing anything. And to make a long story short, Linda presented a bill so that we could put our docks on. It was passed. We've had no trouble. But that road means nothing to anybody. And people who do drive down there have no reason to drive down there. And it also devalues the price of the property, because nobody wants to buy property that doesn't go all the way down to the lake. I can contest to that, because we've had our lake home up for sale for 4 years, and every time people find out that the property doesn't go all the way down to the lake, they walk out on us. People think they can build fires down there, they can park their cars down there, because it's considered riparian land, and that means that nobody owns it. So we're asking Linda to represent us to hopefully to buy that property so we can own it all the way down to the lake.
Senator Scheid.
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, and then if I could also pass around just what kind of a piece of land we're talking about. I think it's about the length of a football field, maybe a little longer. Some of it's better shore land than other. Most of it's pretty good shoreland. There's a little bit of swampy area at one end. And there's several pictures. I took those, so they're not the greatest, but they give you an idea. This is just such a dilemma. It's one of those things that kind of makes people's eyes roll, because you say it really doesn't belong to the county or the state of Minnesota or the township. It belongs to all of us. And some guy in Texas has as much right to go on that land as I do or these people do. But it's not really, it's not suitable for building anything. It's just this strip of 30, 40 feet wide on the lakeshore. The cruel irony about the docks is that for years, people had their docks there, and they took care of the strip of land. But when you take the docks down, what's left is for Linda Scheid to come across the lake and drag my boat up on the shoreland. Perfectly legitimate. Now, not a very good use or way to treat that shoreland, that lakeshore. But there's nothing that, there's nobody there regulating it or keeping me from doing that. I have the right to it. It's my land as much as it is any of ours in here. So it's not public land in the sense that it belongs to a governmental unit. It just belongs to those of us who are members of the public. And that has been a dilemma for these people who have land there, who have their cabins there. I would just like to put this to bed for them and get them some resolution so they can get on with their lives if they want to sell their cabins or if they want to stay there, whatever. The county had the option to try to regulate it. We thought maybe they'd come up with some sort of a licensing program where you put your name in a lottery and for $25 or $100 or whatever a year, get the right to put your dock out. But they backed off from that, I think, over liability, potential liability. So then we said, okay, well, if the county's not going to do something, well, maybe the township will. So that it's in Shamrock Township, and I think there was some enthusiasm for doing this. I think anytime you present a governmental unit with the possibility of some lakeshore, they, you know, their eyes light up and they get pretty excited about that. And then you realize you really can't do anything with this piece. I mean, I don't know. I suppose it could be a beach. I don't know. But who'd be responsible for it? Because nobody owns it. We all do. In fact, I don't think there's even a trash can or anything there, because no governmental unit even has that responsibility. So here we are. The township backed away and didn't want to come up with a licensing, your dock kind of scheme, if you will, or plan. And so right now I think that you have been putting docks out the last couple of years. It's been going all right. They've maintained this strip of land. And I just think that somebody should say, you know, is it this legislature or is it a court? I wanted them to have to not to, I wanted them to be able to avoid having to go to court to do this. It is just one of those kind of sticky wickets that you could see is in that plat map. And with that language that it's granted to the public use forever. It has put them in just this limbo of not really being able to use their actual property that they really do own, not being able to use it to the fullest its fullest capacity. So my bill would convey the land. It would go through the Attorney General and be described, and my bill calls for it to be $1 per parcel. That's obviously negotiable. I thought we'd start there. And it literally affects this strip of land that you see in the pictures and that's on the flat map.
Okay. We've got a couple of questions here. Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Scheid, it's kind of like
commercial property owners that, or people that own houses, and suddenly they find the property line isn't quite where they thought, but they're using it for 10 or 20 years or 30. I know that legally there can be a court action to find a remedy. Usually there's a price involved, but so my question then is, does the Aiken County know that you're trying to do this? Are they here against it if they know?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Gazelka, there is someone, there's a county commissioner here. I don't know if there's anyone else from the county. I don't think they particularly love my bill or even like it, but they don't really own the land either. So it's kind of, I think the reason I brought it here was because there's no one entity that owns this land. And there may be, you know, I really wanted these people to not have to go through the court system. That may be what they have to do. And I learned today that I think I understand 505.14. It has to do with vacation of land and roads and things. It's pretty complicated looking, but it looks like it's a procedure where a court, well, I don't know. You do serve something on the DNR, and the DNR doesn't own this either, so I'm not sure how it would exactly work. And that's why I came here, because we're all problem solvers. And I just am frustrated, have been frustrated by this issue that nobody wanted to step up and take responsibility for this land.
And, Mr. Chair, one follow-up.
Follow-up, Senator Gazelka.
If it's sold for a dollar or whatever the price is, who do the proceeds go to?
Mr. Chairman, let me see what my bill says. I think it goes to let's see. I think it goes to probably write the check to the state of Minnesota.
Thank you.
We would be, by the act, declaring that we had authority over this land, I guess.
Senator Kielash.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, your description of the ownership of the land makes me wonder if we have the authority to sell it, because it's common property or whatever. Does the state even own this or have title to it to be able to sell this for whatever price?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, what, Senator Kielash, one of the key elements of real property is the ability to transfer that property. That's one of the little bundle of rights you get when you have property. And clearly, nobody but everybody owns this. So obviously, there's no deed that names all of us, or even, you know, what you see is the language on that plat map, and it created just a real conundrum. I mean, it created this frustration, and I think that either through the court or through the legislature is the only way we're going to resolve this. This isn't the sort of thing. I think Mr. DeMars, I think you've spoken to attorneys, and I think it's not something that happens very often. I think there's probably more of this in Aiken County than most counties. Maybe some counties don't have any of this kind of land. But, and I'm sure Mr. Tingdale had nothing but the public good in mind when he did this. But I can tell you that there's a resort in the same township that had a new landing, boat landing, on a piece of public land. And I don't know how they've resolved that. And the Catholic Youth Camp had, I think, their septic system on a piece of a lot that was public land. And I think that they've worked that out. But we have this strip, rather relatively small strip of land that's in front of six or seven owners. And
can I answer his question?
Sure.
I'd like to address that. The people that own that land, two things. Number one, for years we were paying shoreline taxes. And then all of a sudden, when Aiken County came up with this dock thing, they stopped charging us for taxes for shoreline property. I was afraid this was going to happen. I thought, I forgot my second thought. So I'll have to go back to it. But we did pay shoreline. When my father passed away, our father in 1992, we took over it, and there was no taxes for shoreline. So I had an interesting point, and I lost it. I apologize.
Oh, maybe we can come back that to Mr. DeMars. Senator Carlson, did you have a question?
Yep, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple questions, but what I'd like to do first is if we do have a representative from Aiken County, and if maybe the DNR would like to have, before I ask a question, maybe that resolves, I won't have to ask a question.
Are there any other, so what we'll do is, are there any other people that like to speak to support the Senate file, 606?
Can I say something?
Senator Shai, do you have some other folks that would like to support it?
Mr. Chairman, they do support it. They own property there, but they don't care.
They're my brother and sister-in-law, so we're talking the same thing.
Then next I would like to ask if the DNR would like to speak. If the DNR would come forward. And if you would reintroduce yourself, Ms. Lewis, for the record, and state your position, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kathy Lewis, Assistant Director, Department of Natural Resources, Division of Lands and Minerals, Department of Natural Resources. This property is not state of Minnesota property. It's not state-owned property. But the DNR reviews about 15 to 20 parcels a year, which are vacations of roads abutting public waters and vacating of property that's public commons. This is not an unusual situation to see in a plat. The legislature has recognized that. There's about four or five different statutes that identify a process a party can go through to vacate the property, and then it's conveyed to the adjoining owners. There's a process and statute with notice to parties and opportunity for hearing. When I looked at this provision, I said to provide information to the senator's office that 50514 seems to be the most appropriate one from the knowledge that I have about this parcel. I also would direct the attention to the Constitution of Minnesota, Article 12, the first section, provides that you can't pass a special law to vacate a public road, street, alley. Now, this may be the commons area, so they might not be applied. I haven't looked at the plat myself, but that's another issue for the party to look at. But there is a process in statute, and that seems to be the most appropriate means to address their concerns.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis. Are there any questions for Ms. Lewis before she steps back from the hearing table? Members, any questions? Hearing none. Are there any, would somebody from Aitken County like to come up to the hearing table, testify? Would you please state your name and your position, ma'am, for the record?
Ann Marcotte. I'm County Commissioner for District 5 of Aitken County.
Go ahead, Ms. Marcotte.
Very bluntly, I've just recently become aware of the fact that this was being proposed, and I have had little or any opportunity to talk with any of my constituents that would be affected by this, other than obviously what Mr. DeMars has been presented here today. But I think part of the issues that I see relevant to this is that we're talking of a football field, 300 feet, and I don't know much property that's available of 300 feet of lakeshore that's going for a dollar. I think that's a question that I would like to dive into as to why we are considering vacating common property, which is for the purpose of non-riparian landowners, and I believe that that was the reason that this individual put it in the deed, that this was to be open and available to all people. If you look at the plat, I believe that there's homeowners that are not located on the lake that live behind this strip, and the purpose of donating this or saying that it's common use is because that is the way that they get to the lake, and that's for that purpose. The road is there. I don't believe that it's adjacent property because of the road, and I would just ask that you look into the fact that I believe this was presented at one time previously. I believe that it was also rejected. So I don't have all of the facts or all of the information, but I did talk with my Planning and Zoning Department, and they are very well versed. They unfortunately could not be here today to talk on the matter, but if this goes before another committee, I would be looking for the opportunity to have persons from the county come to speak to you directly about the facts.
Thank you, Ms. Marcotte. Are the members have any questions for Ms. Marcotte?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheidt.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I've never introduced this bill before, so this concept has not been rejected. We sought some resolution 4 or 5 years ago where the county wasn't acting. In fact, they decided not to regulate this land. And so we said, well, maybe the township would like to. And so we gave authority to the township, but they have not acted as well. So, in fact, I think they've rejected doing any kind of a program of licensing the docks or whatever. And as far as the dollar goes, that obviously, that's something that the legislature can decide. In any case, I don't think the money would go to the county. But be that as it may, I'm trying to resolve this for these landowners who I think did not completely understand. When we bought our house, we didn't have a plat map that we were looking at to determine what the use of the, you know, land near us or whatever. There were docks there, I think, when your father bought the property, and the presumption was that the docks were legitimately there.
Okay. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, have you gone through the process that the DNR had mentioned, and why would you have avoided that at this point?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheidt.
Mr. Chairman, I have made numerous attempts to discuss this with people at the DNR. I've not been successful until today, though I did receive this, but I don't entirely understand this process, this 505.14. They have not tried this, and I think it's something we're certainly willing to do. I'd like to keep the issue alive so that we can at least find out that this section pertains to their situation, because I feel like, and I've not served on this committee, and I've not had a lot of dealings or, you know, conversations with the DNR over the years, but this is something that we would have looked at a few years ago if we had understood that this was a possibility. If you look at it, I mean, it just is sort of hard to figure out just exactly what kind of land you're talking about here. You know, it looks like it's roads and streets and alleys and blocks and lots, and then, you know, we're not seeking in here, by the way, to do anything about the road in the bill, because I did learn from the DNR that you appeal or apply to the township to vacate a town road. That town road, when I've been on it, I mean, I was the only car, I think, for weeks on it. You could tell it's not driven on very often, because there's no reason, there's nothing to get to. There's the people who arrive at their cabins on a road, a blacktop road behind this, what I would call a trail. It's not room for two cars to pass. So I assume that they would make that move if we would pass something that would at least see that they're going to get title to this strip of land.
Thank you, Senator Scheidt. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering, I don't mean to put counsel on the spot, but do you guys have any advice on this, or is this the correct route, or is there a better route to go?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's really up to you, Senator Miller. You know, as Ms. Lewis mentioned, there are a number of times where because of something being vacated or whatever, where it's not clear who owns the property. It's owned by the public, but it's not clear. In fact, Senator Carlson's bill earlier this session, the first lands bill, had a provision in your district, I think. It was land that was formerly owned by the Winona Drainage and Conservancy District. And the legislature took away their authority in 1987, not knowing that they owned any land. They took away the authority statewide. And so this land was just sitting there. No one knew who, whether it was county, whether you know, who owned it at that point in time. So by law, earlier this session, you said that that land will be managed by the DNR. So you've done that in one bill already. This session said that. Now, but the question here is, I mean, there's a road involved, and as Senator Scheid pointed out, this does not include the road. It says adjacent to Duck Pass. And so I understand that this does not include the road. The road would have to be vacated through a local process. But it does what it does do is in the first subdivision, it says that you're basically going to say that the DNR will manage this land that's been designated for the public. And then in the second subdivision, you're selling the land. Now, the earlier bill you didn't do that second step of selling. It just said that DNR will take over and manage the property. So it's really up to you how you want to handle this. But it is a bit unusual to do it, to do both steps here. But you have done before stated who the land is going to be managed by when it's in the public ownership. But there's that the entity that managed it before does not exist anymore.
Thank you, Mr. Kanoff. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Scheid, I had the pleasure of going through this with you after session today. And I can certainly understand the angst of the property owners. Having looked at the plat in its totality, there was obviously many, many sections of land or parcels of land that were left with Lakeshore, some with no Lakeshore, some with almost Lakeshore. And it was real clear to me that the intent, at least in my mind, that the intent of the original platter in 1917 intended, because of how the multitude of the parcels, that he would leave this open space for those that weren't on the lakeside. And so with that in mind, your bill would actually put at odds those people that bought land off of the lake with the idea that they would have maybe a small picnic area, a way to access the lake, the swimming beach, that sort of thing. And so I guess what I would ask you to do, if you would be agreeable to this, I certainly would like to help out the landowners if we could, but I would like to encourage you to seek the court process as laid out in the statute. I think that would give more people on a local level a chance to weigh in. I think otherwise we're going to try to hold court here on a piece of land that we have no idea who owns it without the ability of the local people to come in and weigh in on the issue. And I think it would be, I really think it would be doing better justice to everyone in the area to have a chance to weigh in on this. And I think the only way you're really going to be able to do that is through that court proceeding. So I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to allow us to table this for now. And if that doesn't work out, perhaps bring it back and see if we can help. But that's what I would like to recommend.
Senator Carlson, is that a motion?
That is a motion.
It's been moved that we table the Senate file 606 to table a motion is non-discussable. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I presume the bill stays in the committee.
Yes.
And we'll continue to work on it.
Yes.
I don't presume that you intended to kill the bill.
Correct.
You know, and so I just wanted to.
Senator Scheid, my take on the bill is it's a work in progress. And I think there's a lot of unanswered questions that the members have at the table here. I agree with some of the comments the members made. I don't believe that we're in a position to decide that. What I would like to see is have you work with the local authorities and see if you can't come together with something that's amicable for everybody. And in the meantime, it's laid on the table for future discussion. Senator Gazilka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I Senator Scheid, I didn't vote either way on that because I don't want this to just go away and they do nothing. So all of us are here through next year, so we will all remember what's going on. So I would hope that the local parties do come to some sort of solution.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you, committee.
And thank you very much, and thank you for the testifiers for coming in. The next bill that we'll hear is Senate File 439. Senator Bach, would you please come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. Maybe it's because I've been here too long, but council will remember It seems there was a similar situation like this on DeMonteville Lake, my recollection over in Lake Elmo. And it was around here a number of years, and I was listening to the testimony thinking, well, God, maybe it can be resolved like DeMonteville Lake was. But what I don't remember is what we did there, except I just know the issue went away. And we did actually, I think, do something, but it was very similar to that. Senator LeClaire represented Lake Elmo in the Woodbury area at the time, and council can may remember. But members, what I have is, and unlike Senator, well, maybe like Senator Scheid, she was carrying a bill that was not in her Senate district. This bill actually is kind of similar to that. This is the St. Louis County land sale request. What is different about it is St. Louis County is a county about 200 miles long. There are three of us senators that represent it, and every year St. Louis County comes with a number of parcels scattered around the county that for one reason or another, they have to have legislative authority to be able to sell. St. Louis County is a huge county. We actually have over 900,000 acres of tax forfeited land. It seems like every year we're here with a bill. This one actually has 33 parcels. We have a very nice a map in your packet, color even, of the parcels. Some of them are here because of trespass issues where a current adjacent landowner has a building that might be just over their line, and they want to buy the adjacent property. The current law requires that to be purchased at public auction. So this, some of them are here because of trespass issues, where the county would be able to sell them at fair market value to the adjacent landowner that has a trespass issue. Some of them are here because of undivided interests, where a private party owns an undivided interest and the county owns the rest. Some of them are here because they're bordering a public water, and there's a requirement in law that any tax forfeited land that borders public water has to come to the legislature for authorization to sell. So although there's a number of reasons that these parcels are here, I'm not aware of, I believe the DNR has reviewed all of them. I'm not aware of any objections to any of the parcels, but that, Mr. Chairman, concludes my comments. I have Mr. John Ungaro here, who represents St. Louis County at the legislature.
Mr. John Ungaro, would you please announce your name and your title for the record?
Mr. Chair and members, John Ungaro, Director of Government Relations for St. Louis County. And I'm just here to answer any questions, and I'd also like to add that the St. Louis County Board of Commissioners has unanimously endorsed this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Ungaro. Are there any questions by the members? Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But I don't really have a question concerning the land sale. On the fourth page back, on the back side, looks like there was a bunch of piece cutting strips and stuff going on there. What's those black strips on that picture?
Fourth from the back, Senator?
Yeah,
Senator Bach.
275-0013-00220. It's the fourth page back on the back side. I'm just curious what's going on. It's kind of interesting. I like looking at aerial photos and trying to figure out what's going on. Looks like piece cutters is what it looks like to me.
Well, what it looks like to me, Senator Skoy, I don't have a clue, but it looks like it's a spruce swamp, a peat bog, and those are old Christmas tree roads from probably around World War II, if I was going to make a guess. They used to carve roads like that into the spruce swamps to get Christmas trees out. That was before we had artificial ones, when Christmas trees were a big business, and we still have a lot of those in St. Louis County because we have a lot of peatlands. That's what it looks like. I'm not sure what it would be other than that.
Senator Bach, do you have anybody else who wants to testify?
No, I don't, Mr. Chairman.
Does the DNR want to weigh in and testify on this bill at all? Ms. Lewis? Please again announce your name and your position for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kathy Lewis, Assistant Director, Lands and Minerals, DNR. I just wanted to note for the record that there's three parcels in the bill that, and it's identified in my letter to the committee, that the DNR has asked to purchase from the county at appraised value, and the county has verbally identified that they are willing to do so, and I wanted to get that on record.
Thank you. Senator Bach, would you be willing to offer that as a would you be willing to accept that as a friendly amendment if somebody may, if a member makes that amendment?
Mr. Chairman, if council can I don't have the DNR's letter, but I'm if the county signed off on it, I'm fine if Senate Council could suggest the language, it's fine with me.
Let's see if we have a copy of the letter, Senator Bach. Ms. Lewis, did you say that you had sent a copy of the letter? Senator Carlson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering, Ms. Lewis could answer the question. Perhaps it's not necessary from their perspective that we include the language if they're satisfied with the oral agreement.
That's probably the only way we're going to get it in record, though. And Ms. Lewis requested it to be in record, be on record. So I think in order to get it on record, we would have to do an amendment. So I'd like to have some agreement before we have a member make make an amendment. I'd like to have some agreement that it's acceptable.
Mr. Chair, the party that we've talked to is Mark Weber with the St. Louis County Land Commissioner's Office, and so that's who we've talked to and have the understanding. But
so are you in agreement a verbal understanding would be okay then?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so if we have a verbal understanding, then we do not need the amendment. Are there any other questions for Senator Bach or for the testifiers from the members?
Mr. Chairman, before you vote on it, can I just raise an issue that many new members on this committee, there's historically over all the years I've been here, I guess, when the county comes here to sell a piece of public county tax forfeited land that borders public water, in order to get the DNR to agree, because the law says they have to review it, in order to get them to agree, we always see this language in here providing for, and I'll just read it, a conveyance of this land must provide for no consideration an easement to the state 66 feet on each side of the center line of the stream, providing for riparian protection and angler access. So what we do with this to some extent is create the same kind of problem on all of these parcels that you heard earlier. I just want to raise that for those of you that are new on the committee. Might be something that this committee wants to talk about. We're allowing this small parcels for whatever reason to be sold, but we're really not giving the property owner the use of the shoreline. And there's issues, they can never build a boathouse there, there's questionable whether they can put a dock there. We either should sell it or we shouldn't. And in fact, I would go even further and just suggest something for the committee to consider. Long before I came here, the legislature passed a law that says for a county to sell tax forfeited land that borders public water, they have to come to the legislature. I'm not certain that's necessary. It seems to me we can trust our county commissioners that if they have a piece of tax forfeited land that they want to sell, that they shouldn't have to come here to do it. But that's the current law. Might be something the members of the committee might want to consider to have a discussion about whether, you know, it's a different time now than it maybe was 30 years ago, and I think we can trust our county commissioners to do the right thing on some of these parcels, and I'm not sure that they all need to come here, and I'm not sure they need to have kind of a permanent easement attached to them that we have included on all of these parcels. But frankly, Mr. Chairman, if the easement wasn't here, the department would testify against it, and historically the committee's been reluctant to sell anything that the department didn't sign off on. So that's just kind of the history, and I don't want to get bogged down in that discussion. But this is my first year in all my years in the legislature. I haven't actually served on either the Environment or the Environment Finance Committee. So I've been around this issue for quite a long time. And
Senator
I think
Carlson.
There could be some improvement in the process.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Bach, I really appreciate those comments. And if you have any specific language, I'd be proud to author that bill. I think that's a very good idea. So if you do have any idea how to write that up, I'd be happy to work with you on that. Thank you.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Senator Bach, I'm glad that you're willing to do that. I'd be more than happy to work with you on that. And being so many years on this committee before, I guess I would have to say, why has this not been done in the past? And you know what? It's in the past. So I'm certainly more than happy to work with you, and I think you've got the committee now that can make that difference, so we can get that done. Or at least we have to get input from the DNR as well. But I really appreciate it.
Any other members have any questions for the testifier for Senator Bach on Senate File 439? There being no more questions, would a member of the committee be willing to move the acceptance of Senate File 439 to be possibly included in an omnibus tax bill to be laid over?
I'll move that.
I'm sorry, I said omnibus tax bill. I meant the omnibus bill. We're past that. Senator Kielash moves that we accept Senate File 439 to be included for possible layover in an omnibus bill. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And Mr. Chairman, the votes are a lot tougher down there in Room 15 in the Tax Committee. But I really have, over all the years, Mr. Chairman, I really have enjoyed my time on the Environment Committee. I miss it this year. You get to see some pretty neat stuff all over the state. So it's a very, very good committee to be on. Thank you.
The next one we will do is Senate File 673, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and I apologize for not being here today, bouncing back and forth between meetings. Been rather hectic, but it's slow now, actually. This is, I think, the last meeting that's actually operating. Meeting that's operating making any sense at all. This would be the one.
Mr. Chair, the last one I was at didn't make any sense at all.
I'll pass that off. You mean the last bill? I'm sorry, did you say the last bill?
The last committee.
Mr. Chair, if I might, Senate File 673 is an adopt a WMA program. Now, I understand this is nothing new to the senior members around here. This is something that's been talked about for some time, and I've been in conversation with the DNR just most recently, and I understand there's some issues. I'd like to have them come up and discuss the bill a little bit with us, but I also have Mr. Johnson with me today, who can give you a little idea of what's going on. I think he might have even testified on this bill before or something similar. Also included in your packet, you'll find a letter from Wayne Inger. Now, Wayne Inger from Perham, Minnesota, is somebody that I serve with on the LaSalle Outdoor Heritage since its inception, and he actually brought forth the idea to me, and this is quite frankly coming from... coming from the very big discussion, or getting bigger discussion, about land acquisition in the state of Minnesota. We all know what that's about. Some people out there think that we should be being a little more careful, a little more restrictive on land acquisition with regards to the outdoor hunting and fishing folks. And there has been some acquisition over the last couple of years, as you know, through the Lesage Sams as well as LCCMR. LCCMR has done acquisitions, I think, for some years, the DNR as well. So not only does the PILT payment come to the forefront, Mr. Chair and members, but also management of those lands. And I think there's a certain sentiment out there thinking that, or at least a thought out there, that, managing the DNR lands is somewhat of an issue, could be an issue. If it's not... why not have the public step up and help out? We've got a lot of rod and gun clubs out there that are willing to work with work in different areas, and quite frankly, would be very proud if they could take a 70 or an 80 acre WMA or 125 acre and work with in conjunction with the rules and regulations of the DNR, and maybe put a sign up on that particular property and say. The Herman Rod and Gun Club, in conjunction with the DNR, is helping manage this land, give them some ownership of that, and make their fundraising opportunities a little more valid. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with this. And if I could ask for some comments from the witness, I would certainly appreciate that.
Mr. Johnson, would you please state your name and your position for the record?
Mr. Chair, my name is Mark Johnson. I'm the Executive Director for the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association.
Welcome.
Chair, committee members. This bill is very interesting, and it goes back a ways with Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. The concept is something we've been tossing around for many years. In fact, back about, I believe it was 6 or 7 years ago, when Mr. Enger was actually the president of Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, a volunteer state president, he brought up the issue to our board of directors, and, of course, it had flowed up from the ranks of the chapters and the members to the state board of directors and then on to the commissioner. A letter was drafted on his behalf to the commissioner about this, and I believe it's been brought up to each commissioner in subsequent. With the exception potentially of Mr. Landwehr, I haven't spoken with him about it yet. The Adopt a WMA is something that has been very informal that Minnesota Deer Hunters has been doing with different wildlife managers across the state. There's a map that was handed out, I believe, that you may have already received. It has MDHA's logo up in the corner, so you can hardly miss that. This simply shows a couple things. First of all, the small green dots, if I could point out those to you, those are our chapters spread across Minnesota. So there's quite a good proliferation of them. There are three green stars, and those are three chapters that we have who currently do adopt a WMA. Actually, the one up at East Otter Tail, which is the upper left-hand one of the bunch, they have the Head Lake WMA, and I believe there's another WMA as well that they work with that they have adopted locally. Those three wildlife management areas, on the right side of the page, you see the legend of which ones they are. But total, just those three chapters, and five WMAs accumulates almost 20,000 acres of WMAs that they're helping to manage. And that's everything from spring cleanup on the properties, checking and seeing are the parking lots in those WMAs in good shape? Is the signage in good shape? They're just adopting them and trying to provide manpower, number one, and funding, number two. So the Adopt a WMA program for us means a way that not only our chapters, but Pheasants Forever, Minnesota Waterfowl Association, local rod and gun clubs, whoever else it might be, have an opportunity to work on maybe a little more formal basis with the DNR to help manage some of these wildlife management areas. We don't really want to get in the business of saying this is what you need to do in those WMAs, but we want to be able to provide funds for the things that do need to be done and provide volunteer manpower. So in the end, the most important things are we've got money we want to give the DNR to use in these WMAs, and we want to engage our volunteers, which means you have community ownership of these WMAs.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any members have any questions for Senator Ingebrigtsen or Mr. Johnson? Senator Kielash?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this has got a fiscal note of $172,000 a year.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
I thought we were kind of emptying the with all the other cuts. And is this money coming out of some other DNR fund?
Senator Kielash, if I may, I just received this as well, and I knew there was going to be a fiscal note. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but I'd like the DNR to come up and actually go through that with you if I could. And Senator Kielash, you may just heard the representative from the Deer Hunters Association and the folks that are willing to actually put some dollars towards that. I don't think those are considered in here. I don't think they're included in here. I'm also looking at signage, and I looked at the bill a little more in depth yesterday when I was home reading my bills before I went to sleep last night, and I did notice that the signs were an issue, and I know we have regulations as to height of signs and this and that, and again to show some ownership, you know, they put their own sign out there or their own rod and gun club. So for signage recognition, I see there's some dollars in here for that. Maybe there's a regulation as to how far it has to be erected from the driveway into the, I think we call them parking lots. And that can probably be done by the folks that are actually doing the managing or doing the actual maintenance. So I think there's these expenditures here. I see we're also looking at some new positions, and I'd like the DNR to explain that a little further if I could.
And would the gentleman from the DNR please introduce yourself and your title for the record, please?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Dennis Simon. I'm the Wildlife Management Section Chief for the Division of Fish and Wildlife, DNR. Mr. Chair, members, the Adopt a Wildlife Management Program, as Mr. Johnson has mentioned, has been around for quite some time in discussion. We've been discussing it in the department going back as early 1990s. And generally, we support the concept of the program. I think it has some value, especially in these days where dollars are tight and needs are great. And in fact, the department has been doing that informally, like Mr. Johnson mentioned, across the state where opportunity arises, and we have willing clubs and we have projects that that are appropriate for the kind of work that the clubs can and should be doing. The issues that we keep running into over time is as we mentioned, one of management costs. When we looked at the Adopt a Highway program, Adopt a River program, there are management obligations for these statewide programs. The Section of Wildlife manages for the state 1,430-plus wildlife management areas in 86 of the 87 counties. So the potential for a statewide program needing staffing is there, and we've always run into that roadblock that we don't have any additional staff and would need to reallocate staff from existing programs to operate a statewide program, Adopt a Wildlife Management Area. And second of all, we looked at what are appropriate activities for volunteers to do, volunteers that have little or no safety training and generally don't have licenses for equipment operation or pesticide application and safety training for power tools such as chainsaws and that kind of thing. And so we've always kind of run into that hurdle of how can we structure a program that will provide opportunity for volunteers to really improve a wildlife area. When you're restricted to picking up garbage, replacing maybe signs with bullet holes in them and damage to them, fencing and some of the more labor-intensive work. And so we just always sort of stalled out at that point of not having program costs and limited scope for the amount of money it would cost us. We've looked into several opportunities here more recently that we might be able to partner with the Minnesota Conservation Corps or Conservation Corps Minnesota to help us provide or contract with for some of the activities that would require training or power tool use, because they are trained and they are certified to operate those equipment, and partnering them with various local chapters so that we have both a labor force and certified equipment users, and those crews also generally are flexible in when they can work, as opposed to our staff, who often are regulated by union bargaining contracts that restrict work on weekends or overtime reasons. So I think there are some opportunities here. We do support the program if we can work out the details.
A question, Mr. Simon. It shows here that we have a full-time equivalent of estimated 1.5 positions. Now, if you're currently taking care of these parks, you're out there replacing the signs that have holes in them, you're out there picking up the garbage and stuff like that. Now, if we have volunteers do that, I'm under the assumption that that your folks would no longer be doing that. So I don't know how we're coming up with a 1.5 time person if you've got the volunteers doing the work that your team was doing earlier. Why would we not have less people?
Mr. Chairman, members, the positions that are identified in the summary, the fiscal note, are positions for coordination. When we looked at, again, the Adopt a Highway program and the Adopt a River program, there's a Adopt a Highway program, for example, has a one-third time statewide program coordinator to coordinate all the activities across the entire state. And then they have 11 regional coordinators that coordinate the on-the-ground projects with the chapters, get the little informal agreement signed, get out the vests and all of those kinds of things. We in the DNR have only 4 regions, so we would be looking at some level of FTE for statewide coordination of the program, and lesser levels of FTE could even be clerical staff at our 4 regions to help manage the coordination between each of the local organizations and the wildlife manager, and getting the people on the ground, getting the recognition, in their hands, and just supporting those projects.
So what you're saying is that the man hours that would be saved by the volunteers would be used up in management to manage the volunteers plus another 1.5 people. Is that what you're saying?
Mr. Chairman, we made the assumption that this work would be in above and beyond in addition to what we're currently doing, not in place of.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask Mr. Simon then, if these functions were done with volunteer hours, what would that save? How much of a savings would this be for the DNR? Has that been considered? Am I out of line asking that question?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I don't think we've calculated that, and I don't know if we can without more experience. But I would venture to guess that there likely would be a savings.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Okay. With that, I know we have wildlife directors that work in each and every area that could supervise, and this is a fairly new program. When you only have three in the state that are operating now, I guess I would certainly like to see this go forward. I would certainly assist. You know, if I can call together organizations from regional areas, whatever. I'm not quite exactly sure how to do that. But I guess if we don't start someplace, it'll never happen. And if the general public's willing to help out and do this, we can have an answer, at least a little bit of an answer for acquisition from this day forward. If there's more acquisition of WMAs, WMAs certainly have a place for, I guess, flood mitigation to hunting experiences for folks throughout the state of Minnesota. And this land purchasing thing, what people fail to understand and realize is that, yes, the big state of Minnesota does own it, but they are, in fact, part of the state of Minnesota, and they get to use it. That's the real unique thing about acquisition. But it does take people power to manage these lands, and I think this is certainly a start in the right direction. And I'm willing to commit myself to some time in helping set this up with the DNR and move forward.
Thank you, Senator Ingebrigtsen. We have some further comments and questions. Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, this reminds me of a bill I had the first year I was here, and it was to say that every organization that works with kids once a year could go to the state park for free. And it came up with a fiscal note like this. And, you know, I kind of imagined that it would work like this. Hi, the 4-H Club from Fairmont wants to go visit Lake Itasca. Okay, we'll show them a good time. You know, but no, it was like $100,000 for the program. So I feel for you with this fiscal note, because it makes some. I've never seen materials for comfort, safety, and acknowledgement in a fiscal note before, but it's $10,000 worth. So I think there's some work left to do on this fiscal note once they understand more about what you're looking to do.
Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Chair, thank you. The way that our chapters work this right now is they just work with the area wildlife manager, and they pick out a particular WMA near them. And, of course, at this point you can see it's three chapters, so it's three wildlife management officers or wildlife managers, I should say, who have been willing to try this. And I think the results have been quite good from them. But I take a simplistic view of it, I guess. I don't have the office view that the DNR does, but from our standpoint, we don't really have many people running chainsaws or anything like that on these WMAs that I'm aware of, unless that's it may be a tech with the DNR local office that comes out and does that. Otherwise, what we're doing is we're helping to contract. We're doing the physical stuff, the stuff that doesn't take necessarily motorized vehicles and sharp blades. But also we're subcontracting or helping find the contractor for putting in those wildlife food plots or for doing the shearing or for we're helping with tree planting. We're doing the different things that volunteers can do without a lot of liability or a lot of a danger aspect to it. So that's a simple way, but that's the way we're doing it now.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Senator Squay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Johnson, do you have an idea how many of these do you think would come into place in the first couple years? It's just a rough guess here. I was kind of counting up your chapters. There's probably 60 or so of them here. You got a feel for how many it might be?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair and Senator Squay, The just off the top of my head, we'd have at least another 10 to 12 chapters that they're interested right now in getting involved. And over the next 2 years, that would take place. Over the next year, I'd say we'd probably be looking at about 6 to 10 who would get involved right away.
Well, Mr. Chair,
follow up.
I think to the department, we're talking about 6 to 10 more of these adopt the WMA things in the next year or so. It seems to me that you ought to go back and look at the fiscal note under that scenario. And, you know, if you have to, you know, so you can figure out what your savings are going to be and figure out what the actual costs are going to be of coordinating this, you know, under a scenario where you're only going to get 6 or 8 new ones every given year, you can't possibly think that you'd need a person and a half to do that. You know, it just can't possibly be.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. Thank you for all the comments with regards to that. And Senator Higgins, I think you're right. It does look like wow, how does this ever happen? But in defense of the department, we certainly have to be respectful of their trying to manage this. And I had some conversation with Mr. Don Carlos and with regards to this. And he said, and justifiably so, if the folks are willing to step up and do this, it's going to be a good program. If they're not, why, you know, all in good intentions. But I think we're to the point where we should move forward with this. And if there's 6 or 8 new ones, maybe it'll start to MRF. Maybe it'll start to grow. And public partnerships with the private is something we should be looking at. And this seems to be something that I just envision. In fact, I know out in my western part of my area, the Donnelly Club over there, and you probably even know that group over there. They want to do more. They can't get enough to do, and they sell a lot of tickets doing that when people know that that's going back into the local area there, and they put their sign up and they're very proud of that, and there'd be nothing wrong with a program like that.
Senator Escoy.
You know, and Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, you know, maybe for the first couple of years you actually want to limit it to 20 or something so that you get a little time frame to work into it and see what it's going to be. I mean, I don't know. It would get a start, see where it goes from there. The other thing that I did want to mention, I know when I did the Veterans Memorial Highways, required signage. And in that program, they did require the veterans organizations to pick up the cost of the signs. One of the things that they did.
And Mr. Chair, Senator, I think they would be willing to do that, not a problem. But again, with supervision of where they're going to be placed and how high, and so they're visible for the local residents to come by and see the work done. So I think it's a good idea.
Senator Kielash.
Mr. Chair, I think it's going a little bit to what Senator Scoy is talking about, and even you're talking about, Senator Ingebrigtsen, and that is that I think there, in order to at least consider the liability that untrained people going into management areas, the potential of getting hurt, what does that do for the state? And that's just an example, but I'm thinking in terms of shouldn't there be some kind of rulemaking or policy for how to manage these and what the scope of the work that the DNR is willing to let them do on their own and what it needs supervision and or professional work, just kind of work out those kinds of details as part of this first year of trying to adopt this.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Kielash, I think Mr. Simon can address this. They do have contracts now that they sign with, and we've met here recently with the Cattlemen's Association. They have contracts that are actually signed. And I think it's for that purpose. It's for, okay, you're going to have a certain amount of liability here, and you're going to waive that, I think. So I'll let him talk about that for a second.
And Mr. Chair,
Mr.
Members,
Simon.
We do have standards established already, and we have contract language that works out really well for us. It protects the volunteers from a workers' comp standpoint and a liability standpoint. State is self-insured, as you know, so we have some opportunity to accept risk where it's necessary and where we feel it's appropriate. Because we do work with volunteers really on a wide basis, just don't have formal programs like Adopt a Wildlife yet, we have the standard language pretty well down, and we can certainly deal with that easily.
Thank you, Mr. Simon. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to commend Senator Ingebrigtsen for this bill. We have a tremendous opportunity in front of us, and I think what could possibly follow an Adopt a Wildlife Management Association might be an Adopt a Boat Landing. We have a tremendous problem with aquatic invasive species, and we have many lake associations that have many members that are retired that I know would be willing to do the same thing at a boat landing. And I think this is great language, and I don't know that we want to rush into all of that at once, but we could use this program as a pilot program, and I just hope that the Department of Natural Resources can find a way to try to work with us instead of, it almost feels like we're being worked against. In this day and age, any of you have had children in sporting events where you have Little League and you have the people at the dance routines, whatever, how hard it is to find volunteers. And here we have willing volunteers. And I think, isn't this what we want to pass on to our kids, this idea of volunteerism in America? Here's a great example of how we can do that. And I would hope that the DNR and any state agency and all of us would want to encourage volunteerism and not try to put roadblocks up by $122,000 fiscal notes.
Thank you, Senator Carlson. Any other members have any other questions or comments? Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Just real quickly, Senator Scoy, maybe you can enlighten me as to the Adopt a Highway plan that you had. Was there some savings shown there at all, or was there some?
Well, Mr. Chair, it's a Veterans Memorial Highway, and it runs from, there's a number of them around. The one that I'm familiar with is Otter Tail, Becker County, goes up through Clearwater, then cuts across Manoman and Norman. But there, they erect this little blue sign that says, you know, Becker County Veterans Memorial Highway. It had to be done according to the standards that the Highway Department put out. And I think the Highway Department actually ordered and designed the signs and everything, but the organizations that sponsored the highway had to pay for the signs.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. One more comment. Again, I appreciate the comments, Senator Carlson, with regards to the excitement and the energy about this. But I'm certainly not going to throw any caution into the wind, but we still have to make sure we're going to get enough people to do this. And, yes, they are out there, but it's going to take some organization. And I trust that the DNR will work with us. So if there's nothing else, I'd move the bill.
Senator Ingebrigtsen. Moves Senate File 673 to be passed and laid over for possible inclusion in omnibus bill. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. The bill is passed to be included in omnibus bill. Possible inclusion. Senator Carlson and Ms. Lewis, if you would like to come back up for Senate File 712, we have the amendment here and we have that ready. So we will pull the motion, we'll pull the Senate File 712 from the table. Senator Carlson, Ms. Lewis, would you like to proceed with the amendment? The amendment number is A3. Is that correct? We'll have you an amendment in just a minute, Senator Carlson. Senator Carlson, Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members, Kathy Lewis, DNR. There's changes in three sections of the bill with this amendment. The first ones, which start on page 2, line 24, is decreasing the area for the expansion of the boundary of Scenic State Park. Our DNR staff, when they were doing a check, identified that the area that we were asking for the boundary did not have to be as large as we had first written in the bill. The second change, which is on line 7 of the amendment, which is a deletion to an area in Hayes Lake State Park. This is a small access trail. There's a cabin owner that had encroached on the state land inadvertently. In the bill that was Lance Bill of 2010 that was passed in the 2011 session and passed into law, we had deleted an area from the park for the cabin, and further discussions with the landowner identified that the trail area should also be deleted. So this is a four-acre strip that would delete a trail area from the state park that's an access trail for that cabin owner. And the last provision is on line 25, 26 of the amendment. It's for the Watten 1 WMA parcel, the last sale parcel. And in the provisions that we would have for the reservations for the DNR on the sale, we identified we wanted the conservation easement to include prairie management and seed harvesting. And we are also looking at the potential to provide for public hunting. What's actually happening with the parcel? There's federal aid involved. We're doing an appraisal as we speak, and the appraisal will have to be reviewed by the federal government to determine if they will accept that provision. But we would also like to be able to include public hunting as one of the reservations when we sell the parcel. And those are the three sections that would be amended by this amendment.
Any questions on the amendment? Senator Carlson, would you move the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A3 amendment.
Senator Carlson has moved the A3 amendment. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all members, all members approving the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment carries. Any members have questions on the bill as amended? So now we need a motion on the bill, right? Hearing no more discussion, the chair would take a motion to pass Senate File 712.
First need amended.
Mr. Chair, I believe we need to add a few more amendments.
Yep, we do.
Okay, thank you.
The chair would entertain a motion to amend the contents as amended of the following bills to Senate File 712. Bill number G73. Senate File 673, Senate File 92, Senate File 181, Senate File 439, Senate File 560, to Senate File 712.
So moved. Mr. Chair, did you say Senate File 492 also?
We had Senate File 92. Senate File 492 needs to also be added. Thank you, Senator Carlson. Okay. Made a couple of changes. The bill has been moved. Is there any further discussion? The bill has been moved as amended. I'm sorry, the amendment has been moved. Any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment carries. Now we'll need a motion on Senate File 722. Senator Carlson, would you be willing to make that motion?
Thank you, Mr.
712.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate File 712 as amended, recommend to pass and be referred to the Finance Committee.
Senator Carlson has moved Senate File 712 as amended to be passed and moved to the Finance Committee. Any further discussion by any members? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The bill passes and the motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members,
adjourn the meeting.
With nothing else to come before the meeting, we will adjourn.
Yay. No, we don't have to come back.